Okay, we are officially in. So now I'm going to mute you all. Apologies, painful as it is. Hang on, and then at the end we'll do some Q&A time and some interactive stuff as the concept unfolds. Thank you. Okay, good. Okay, welcome everybody. Rick Tamlin here. Welcome to this call called Express Your Message, Stop Selling Your Service, which is a bit of an interesting thought, huh? Because aren't we all about bringing service and doing our good work to the world? And I created this call because I work with lots of coaches and trainers and executives and folks who are all about bringing their work to the world and wanting to be successful with it, of course, and wanting to have a positive impact and wanting to bring it to the next level and bring it to more people. And what I've discovered over my years of doing this type of personal development and team development kind of work is that the more I stepped into my message, and we'll even talk about that in a minute, what I mean by message, but when I started to own and cleanly decided a viewpoint about how it works, about how life works, the more I stepped into that, the more my business started to then attract folks who may be aligned with it, and it started to grow. Now, this might feel obvious to many of us, but I just wanted to underline on this call many, many distinctions to kind of get at this idea. And I'm going to, the primary format of this call is to make distinctions for all of us, rather than things to do and tips and hints. More in the being land about how we be in the world is what I want to offer today, rather than a lot of the doing part. So let me just dive in here then to this idea of message. And want to offer a distinction about message, first of all. What I mean by message is, and I've alluded to it a little bit earlier, is what do you believe, what do we believe about how it works? And it is the place where you get to decide for yourself. In my case, I want to offer this idea, like what, how it for me is, how does life work? How do we as humans manifest? How do we create? And that's a bigger message than the message of, I have an opinion about a particular topic in our world, or I have an opinion about, you know, how Washington is doing it right or wrong. That's sort of topic related. And what I'm talking about is philosophical life related, the message being related to that. So, and I kept noticing for myself when I stepped into this particular philosophy that I've had for many years, which is life is all made up. That's a philosophical viewpoint, right? That life is all made up. When I started to lead with that, rather than lead with my job and my role, i.e. a coach or a trainer, you know, here's what I do, but I started to lead with my philosophy first, my message first. That's when my practice and my business started to really, get some traction and really get some legs underneath it. And I keep noticing when I train coaches and I train folks, they get caught easily, and it's pretty normal to get caught in the role. Well, I'm a coach or I'm a trainer, so this is what I train and this is what I coach. I coach people, you know, and we get caught in the role. So this first distinction is really about message versus role. And for you to start to think about for yourself, you know, what is the message I want to bring to the world? And the form in which I bring it through is coach, trainer, keynote, author, you know, those are the forms in which it comes through you to the world. And, you know, this whole message side of the equation needs attention, I dare say. And again, I want to pull this apart a little bit. Message is very different than opinion about a topic. Because we get caught in, you know, is my message really my opinion about particular topics in the world? You know, right now this whole gay marriage thing is really big and the gay topic, and, you know, for me to go off and vote about that is not really my message. That's an opinion I have. You know, whether agreed or not agreed, and we get to have those. But as trainers and as coaches and as people who are doing this kind of good work in the world, which all of us on this call are, I assert, this is about stepping out wider and bigger and starting to think about, okay, what is really my message for all of humanity that I can start to own and bring to the world? And so a doorway into this whole concept of your message, more than your service, is to think about early on this question, what am I about? In the bigger game work I do, in the bigger game workshop, we talk a lot about this question, what am I about? Now, this is, you can easily couch this in the territory of life purpose work, maybe, or in the domain of the question of why am I here on this planet, you know, those big esoteric questions, which are really useful. But again, we start to lean almost unconsciously to start to answer the world again through the what do I do, rather than what am I about. And so this distinction I want to offer here is leaning more into the territory of what am I about, leading with that first, and then saying to folks, okay, well, here's what I do. But our world keeps pointing us with the questions, even at dare parties and cocktail parties, and every time we meet, you know, the question is, what do you do? And so it's a pretty strong muscle to be able to go, well, you know, rather than answer the question right out of the gate, what do I do? It's like, well, let me offer you my message. Now, that might feel a little awkward, a little odd at times, because people just sort of want to know, you know, how do you make a living, right? So there's a dance there. But again, this distinction is about the message and what do I do, what am I about first, and then going to what do you do second. Now, I want to underline this as a courageous place. This is courageous, this is vulnerable, to really start to speak out into your world, what are you really about? Because our ego sort of goes crazy and starts to get caught in the, oh my gosh, am I really about that? That's sort of magnanimous, or that's really big, or, you know, who am I? You know, there's all kinds of voices that can kick in there. Because you're setting yourself up, we're setting ourselves up for being voted at if I start to announce, you know, here's what I'm about, or, you know, I believe that it's all made up. And I put that out there, and it's vulnerable, because the world will have an opinion about it, of course, and like it or align with it or not. But what I notice is if I go generic enough and go wide enough, rather than get caught in those opinions of topics, it captures a wider net. You know, most people that I've talked to and shared this philosophy, if it's all made up, over the last 20 years of my life, they found a doorway in through that. They're like, yeah, man, it is sort of made up. Well, look at that. I didn't quite realize that it is. So, first distinction, what am I about versus what you do? Is to feel the difference between those two. And a lot of these, by the way, you're going to feel the energetic difference and sort of feel the philosophy of it. And, of course, you'll find your own language with it. This is what I want you to walk away from this call is to feel the philosophy of the differences and then go off and find your own language with them. So here's a second distinction. You might want to write these down. This one is about your beliefs versus your knowledge. And again, you're going to feel these start to overlap. You know, and the question to ask is, what do you believe versus what do you know? Now, we know lots of things. We know data. We've got, you know, I know that, you know, this certain piece of information is in my life, or I know this fact about my life. But to step over into the territory of what do I believe? Again, this is in that domain of what do I believe about how it works, about how life works, about how we manifest, about how we create, and to start to step into the beliefs of how you think it really goes for us as people, humans, etc. And again, you're kind of feeling this energetic difference. We get caught, pulled a lot into the, well, here's what I know, and here are the facts, and here's the data. And our world, by the way, is so in this domain of what do I know, and everything needs to be proved, everything needs to be measured. You know, I know many of you on this call are trainers and working out there selling workshops and selling things, and, you know, a lot of the information that comes at us is, well, how do you know it works? Have you measured? Have you got the data? You know, and that's in the domain of knowing. And so we're pulled into that ocean of this evidence-based world, and what I'm inviting us into is remembering, well, what do I believe? And I don't always have to know the data to have it work. But to start to own that in yourself, well, here's my belief about how it works, and here's my experience over the years with it, and of course there might be some data there. So this whole second distinction of belief versus knowledge. And I dare say, I think the domain of belief without data is lost. It's an art, a way of being that is being lost a little bit in our world. And yet, what's fascinating is in the domain of religion and spirituality, there's a lot of beliefs that are not, there's no facts that back them up, and yet we've decided and granted them power for whatever reason. Like, in that domain, there seems to be much more permission. And I'm inviting us all into our perspective to bring that more into our regular world, if you will, or the secular world, and even say, here's what I believe, and start to operate from there. So I want to now offer this next distinction, that your message comes through you rather than it's from you. And this one can certainly let go of, or can help with letting go of the ego, because we all get caught in the right message, and it better be the perfect one, and it better be the one that can handle the most people. And instead of, you know, what is coming through you versus from you? This one I've been dealing with for many years, but I got so inspired by Elizabeth Gilbert, the woman who wrote Eat, Pray, Love. She has a great TED Talk, by the way. If you've not seen her TED Talk, really useful TED Talk about this concept. And she really talks about how there's a genius that's sort of a part of us that is actually outside of us. She has a belief, by the way, and she has a message that the genius that is within us is really coming from somebody else or some other entity, if you will, and coming through us. And so it eases a little bit of the pressure of I have to be profound or brilliant or have an amazing message, because if it's coming through me, then I just need to be open to receive it. And again, if you can kind of feel into the energy of that, it can kind of loosen the grip of performance anxiety and have you sort of step into, wow, this is what's coming through me as I'm sitting with this person or I'm sitting in this workshop. This is what wants to come through me, and the message is I'm a conduit for the message. Very different than, you know, let me be profound and let me have the right message for you. I mean, even on this call right now, you know, it's hard to have you all muted because I know you're there. And the muted part on your side kind of activates the me sort of getting it right and being profound, and it better be brilliant. Instead of let me just be on this call with all of you, have some thoughts to share and see what wants to come through me as I'm with you. Okay, good. So that's that distinction. I want to offer another one. This one is, it goes like this. Dare to share versus being right. Dare to share versus being right. And again, this is a little bit on the shoulders of the previous one. We have a culture and we get caught in this ourselves where we have to be right. And in the domain of expressing your message, your job is just to share it. Who knows whether it's right or wrong does not matter. It's like in the sharing context, there's no right or wrong. The question to take a look at, or the awareness to be conscious of, is does it serve? Is it serving this situation? Is it serving this call? Is it serving this client? Is it serving? And our job is to share it, though. Because if we don't share it, then we're withholding it. And again, if it wants to come through me, and there's an urge to want to share it, and I don't, then I've sort of robbed the room. I've robbed this person. I've robbed this experience of something that could then be co-created. And again, we get caught so quickly in the getting it right, and it better be brilliant, it be profound, and all that performance anxiety. So again, just to name the distinction, it's dare to share versus being right. Which leads me to another distinction. And again, these are like all threaded together, but they help pull it apart a little bit to have you start to feel into, you know, stepping into your message and into your own work in the world. This one is very simple. Wisdom versus intelligence. Wisdom versus intelligence. Now, we have a culture that is very much leaning in the domain of intelligence. You know, get the exam right, teach to the test. Our school systems are teaching to the test. Get the numbers, get the answers. And the whole context of wisdom, which again is in the domain of your message, is being shortchanged. And I dare say it's time for us to step back into our wisdom for each other, for what we think the world needs, without knowing all the data. Now, I want to be really clear. I'm not saying that intelligence is bad. I mean, these distinctions are not good or bad. We're just, imagine they're like a teeter-totter and we're leaning one way or the other. And we have this world that is leaning heavily into the intelligence, sort of left brain, if you will. And I'm inviting us all on this call to step more into the, what is the wisdom I have for this person? What is the wisdom I want to offer for this team or this group? And it might be in the domain of your message, or it might be outside of it, but it's all in that sense of, I have something to offer here that wants to come through me. And so it's time to start to own the wise sage that we all are for each other. And who knows whether we're right or wrong, it does not matter. Because here's what happens. When you express your wisdom for somebody or a group or online or whatever format you choose, it's coming from a space of wanting the best for them from your heart. Right? And we feel that. You know, we know that this wisdom is coming through this person for you, and they can feel the love that it's injected with. So it's not so much about the wisdom being right. It's the energetic consciousness that it comes through with, which is, I want the best for this person. So I'm going to offer my wise thoughts for you and see what happens. Right? Again, then you have to let go of being right. Who knows if it's right or wrong? Does not matter. So here's another sort of offshoot of this one. And I spoke a little bit about this one earlier, but the distinction is this. Insight versus opinion. Insight versus opinion. Now, I've played with this one for a while, and this idea that I think opinion, I'm kind of playing with this these days, is opinion is more topic-based. You know, I have an opinion about Washington, or I have an opinion about gay marriage, or I have an opinion about, you know, whatever. And I get to have that, of course. Right? But that's topic-based. And as a presenter and as a keynoter and as a person bringing a message to the world, if I actually put a lot of those opinions out into the world, I have lots of people who then respond, well, go get that guy because he has that opinion, or don't get that guy because he has that opinion. It quickly becomes a reference point of yes or no, which is maybe not a bad thing. But the net gets smaller. And so what I'm offering to all of us here is this concept of insight is a wider perspective, again, in the domain of what is my insight about how it works, about how we as humans could get along better, or how we could be a better team, or whatever the context is you work in, what is your insight about it? It's not topic-based, it's more holistic in its thinking and in its looking. And it's about going above the topics to a bigger perspective. Again, I do this other work called The Bigger Game, and we spend a lot of time in this one. You know, go bigger than the topics and start to step into a wider perspective about your own insights about us as people, generically even. So insight versus opinion. And I know you'll probably have an opinion about that, which I can't wait to hear about. But again, that's the distinction to play with here. Here's another one. I was trained in this one a number of years ago from this fabulous work called Lucid Living, and it just rang with me, and it has stuck with me, and I get caught in it all the time and have to remember it all the time. But this one is a little more subtle, but here's the language of it. Express and receive versus do to get. I'll say it again. Express and receive versus do to get. Sort of let yourself sort of feel into that one. Most of us are trained and get caught in, and it happens to me all the time, this domain of, if I do this, then I'll get that. If I do this job, then they'll pay me for this gig. If I do this coaching, then they'll send me a check for that. Or it has a sort of a causal relationship. If I do, then I'll get. Pretty common, right? Not, and again, we have a lot of evidence to prove that this is true. The problem with this gets really weighty, and then we get all caught in that doing side, which I talked about earlier, right? Well, am I doing it wrong? Then I got to do something different so that I could get more or whatever. So that whole do-to-get paradigm is really lit up on our screens, right? So that's the do-to-get side of the equation, or the paradigm, if you will. Now, the paradigm I'm off asking you to think about is express and receive. Now, this is in the territory of the message, right? If I start to express my message out into the world and cast that net, if you will, or cast that sort of energetic release of here's what I believe on a philosophical level about how it works, and then start to be open to receiving what wants to come back without worrying about getting it, but it starts to, you start to notice people are drawn towards it. There's a person who wants to collaborate all of a sudden, or wow, you get hired for this particular keynote because of the message you shared, or somebody says, wow, I'd really love to hear more about that, or you get a book deal. You know, that's what's recently happened to me, is like, wow, this message is finally starting to have some legs, and now somebody comes and says, let's have a book deal from it because we want your message to be, cast wider to a wider audience. But boy, I can get caught in my day, and I think this one is one of the most profound, is to get caught in the, well, I got to do this so I can get the book deal, or I got to do this so I can get, and to really start to feel the difference in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. Okay, my job is to express and not be attached, and start to then be open to the receiving. And now let me underline this word receiving a little bit. That is an art. I dare say it's an art to learn how to receive, just because, without having to earn it, to get it, or prove it. Now, this is kind of based on a philosophical viewpoint that I have, that the universe is completely abundant. It wants to throw stuff at us, and I dare say that for many of us, the reason why it's not happening is because we're so not well trained, we don't have the artistry of receiving. Because I do a lot of, lots of coach training and a lot of personal development work, and when we're in the domain of acknowledgments and having people receive and give acknowledgments to each other, we're squirming, right? Everybody's squirming when you actually feel an acknowledgment coming at you. That's that moment of, I don't know what to do with this, right? It feels really awkward, and oh my God, that's not me, and we discard it and we dismiss it. That right there is an example of we have work to do on the receiving part of this perspective that I'm offering. So I just want to say it again, and it might not make perfect sense to your brain right now, but sort of just sit with this one in the coming week, this whole idea of express and receive versus, or rather than, do to get. And try to catch yourself this week noticing, wow, I'm in this domain of I'll do this so I can get that. Even when I'm designing my website and we're doing a new website, and I'm thinking, well, if we do this, then we can get more people. And I'm like, no, stop. I want to actually express through my website with colors and looks and videos and whatever I want people to feel, what's the message I want to bring. And if they're drawn to it, great. If they're not, no problem. But to pull apart and pull away from this do-to-get philosophy, I think this one is profound. So, okay, I'm going to take a breath, and I'm going to give you a couple more, and then we'll open up the phone lines and see what you got. This one you've all heard, and I'm just going to underline it. It's function versus form. Function versus form. Another way to say it, and for those of you that have any architectural training or any engineering background, it's the philosophy that form follows function. Again, you can kind of feel the doing versus being or being versus doing. Function is, what am I about? Form is how people get it or how people experience it. And again, I work with lots of coaches, and coaches where we get stuck is form. You know, I'm a coach, and here's what I address in people. That's the form in which you can buy a person, you can buy their service. And I keep working with coaches and saying, okay, so what's your function? What do you believe about how it works? Give me a little bit of your philosophy. First of all, as a differentiator for yourself as a coach, in an industry that's, you know, got some lots of coaches these days, well, what's your differentiator is, well, what's your function? What do you believe? Now, one of the greatest examples of this one, function versus form, is Apple. And, you know, for those of you that know me on this call, I'm a big Apple fan. You know, they're going through growing pains right now, and all kinds of stuff is happening. But truly, when you step way back, when Steve Jobs was around, he really put that organization into this consciousness of what is our function in the world first. And the function was about entertainment. You know, we're in the entertainment business. And about artistry and about the design. He kept that conversation going, and we are a design company. We're about bringing entertainment. And the form in which people buy it is through computers and iPhones and all the, you know, the technology came after the function. Versus we're a technology company and we make technology. Now, it's really a different domain of how to think and how to operate as an organization. And in this context for us on this call, as a person, what is my function? And again, you can kind of feel the relationship to that's in the domain of what's my message? What do I believe? So when you go out into the world, I recommend highly keep leaning into, as you talk to people, that start to point people towards what's your function, what is your belief, what are your, why are you here to do what you do? And by the way, you can get that, I'm a coach. And I say this a lot in the coach training workshops. People hire you who happens to be a coach and has coaching skills. They don't hire a coach who just happens to be you. So again, I hope you're hearing in me, it's really underlining your stake in the matter, your viewpoint in the matter, is what they're really wanting. And I realize lately for myself and my own business, we get hired primarily, like the point of entry is hired for the message. Like, you know, on my website, it talks about the bigger game and my message for organizations, and, you know, my message is in there. And yet, then I'm rehired for the service and how it happened based on the message. They rehire how I showed up in it. But they do hire first the message because they don't have any experience of me. But they're getting me through the message initially. And then they rehire the how it went. They rehire the experience. First hire the message, rehire the experience is a way to think about it. So this whole idea of function versus form, and for yourself to think about, what is my function, you know, versus the role that I play or the form in which people can buy me. And again, a little bit antithetical to what we've been trained. You know, we are talked about in our world, we're always talked about what's our job and what's our role, and I'm turning the dial down on that whole role job thing. That's second. First is message and function. And now I want to offer this other one. This one is related to the message, but I want to couch it in it's even a bigger philosophical viewpoint about how to go through life, related to your business, but related to everything else. And this one I'm doing a lot of work with organizations around and teams and executives. And this concept to this distinction is actually this. I'm going to give you the language and then I'll talk about it. It's create from versus react to. Create from versus react to. Now, again, I'm kind of naming the human condition here. React to is the part of me that I watch a television show or I watch a news story and I have a reaction. And of course I do. I'm human. That's what I do. I get to vote about it. I like it. I don't like it. And I'm quickly in that domain or in that philosophy of that's good, that's bad. I'm just a reaction. And many of us and many people we know of kind of go through our lives like this. They're just reacting to their circumstances. You know, I wish that hadn't happened. And why did that person do that to me? And, you know, why isn't my team better? And, you know, why did I hire that person? And, you know, that person's really great at their job and that person's really bad. And you can just hear it, right? All that voting language in the reactionary way of living. That's where most of us can hang out for many, many years. Because we don't have any other way to think about it. Now, create from the other side of the coin, the other side of the paradigm here, this is a bit radical. This is in the territory of everything that is happening outside of me, what can I create from it? Now, that takes a muscle. Doesn't mean I don't get to have a reaction initially, right? I get to have a vote moment, or I don't like that, or I wish it hadn't rained today, or, you know. But then to kind of go to this next level and say, okay, what can I create from this? What's the opportunity? You know, that's that great question in business, right? You know, what's the opportunity out of this failure? That kind of stuff. You know, a great example of this is the Post-it note. We all know the Post-it note was a failure. It was glue that didn't stick. So somebody came along and said, well, what can we create from this? Oh, look, it can now actually re-stick, and it keeps re-sticking, and wow, it keeps re-sticking, and, you know, we now know that is their number one product. 3M makes more money off the Post-it than any other product from a mistake. So that was round two of the way to be with that failure is, okay, what can we create from this? Now, again, this is a philosophical way to go through life, and related to your message, as you're going through life, we are just reacting many times instead of, okay, what's the message I can create from what's happening? It might be aligned with my generic message for the world, but to start to think of, as this thing is happening, what's the new message that wants to come through me and be created from me that I can then share? Or bring to light. So, again, create from versus react to. A pretty powerful distinction. And I want to offer this idea on the shoulders of that, is that what if our whole life, all the circumstances, all the things that have happened, the dark and the light, the good and the bad, because that's what we're doing, right? We're voting along the way. That was bad. That was good. But what if all of it, everything that has happened in our life up until now, even this call right now, what if all of that is pointing us to our message and to our work in the world? Now that's the question I'm pointing you towards there, is a create from question. Rather than, you know, well, when I got over that, then I could get to this. Or when I finally accepted that, then I could go to this. Instead of, what if all of it is all pointing me in a direction of my work in the world, my message through me for the world? And that's a pretty big paradigm or perspective to operate through life with. But I noticed for myself, you know, on my good days, I'm really there. When my bad days, I'm really caught in the vote and the reaction. But I just notice I feel so much better and I feel so much of service when I'm pointing myself in that direction of, okay, what is there to create from here for whomever I'm talking to that's in front of me in this moment? And that's where the service part comes in. So the name of this call is Express Your Message, Stop Selling Your Service. Of course you want to be of service, but rather than selling your service, offer your message, and then you will be of service. So there's some big perspectives or paradigm shifts or distinctions that I wanted to offer all of you on this call. And I just wanted to talk briefly, just because it's a great example of this, to kind of to message. Is I used to work heavily involved with the Cheesecake Factory organization, and they live in my heart as a fabulous organization and great relationship with the folks who run that organization. And I was with them back when they had 3 restaurants, Beverly Hills and 2 other locations in Los Angeles. Now there's 176, and they're now even in the Middle East. I mean, they're just exploding. And I talk about them because they don't sell their service. There's no marketing. There's never been a marketing campaign ever. Have you ever seen a commercial for a Cheesecake Factory or an ad in a newspaper or anything? Nothing. Zero. Nowhere is there an ad ever. There's no marketing budget. Now, how does that happen? Where an organization is so successful, because every restaurant, there's a wait every single night of the week. It goes on. You know, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. Now, here's an interesting distinction. We can get caught in the opinion of the topic called, oh, my God, they're feeding people too much food, and, you know, they're creating waste, and there's all that. Now, that might be true. And yet I want to offer this philosophy that's bigger than that, is they operated early on from their message. And the founder, his name is David Overton, brilliant man, operates from abundance. He absolutely believes that the universe is abundant, there always will be plenty, that we're never going to run out, as long as we're responsible with it, but there's a flow that it just keeps, it will always be there. Now, we can have an opinion about that, we can vote or not, but it's interesting how that abundance mentality lives inside that entire organization as a founding philosophy, as a founding message. And all the artistry in the restaurant, everything is lined up with it. And all the paintings on the ceiling, by the way, are all spiritually based, all in the domain of this abundance message. Like, there's nothing accidental in that space. Now, we don't know that going in. We just see pretty artwork and we see pretty colors, but it's all intentionally based in this domain of the message that the founder brought. You know, he wasn't even in the restaurant business when he started. So I just wanted to offer that as a story. It's such a great example for me when I get caught in the, you know, do to get and what do I need to do. It's like, okay, step back. What's my philosophy? What's my message? And then be open to receive what wants to come back at me. And again, in the Cheesecake Factory restaurant, what's coming at them is, you know, lots of people showing up and buying the food, et cetera. So lots of receiving going on there. He's got that one handled too, by the way. So there's some thoughts that I wanted to share. And I know officially this call was 45 minutes. We can go longer if there's questions and there's conversation that wants to be had. Thank you for being open to these ideas and invite you to think about them for yourselves and your own lives and your own work. So what's going to happen now is I'm going to unmute. Oh, no, here's a better way to do this. I just learned this. If you have a question or a thought, you can unmute yourself by pushing *6. And then we will only hear you, and all that background noise will not come in then. So if you have a thought or a comment or a question, we would love to have you speak. And let's do our best to see if we can manage this and *6 yourself and come on in, and then we'll see where it wants to go. This is me dancing in the moment. Technology. There's a *6.
Jackie?
Yes, hi.
Hey. Well, I love the question at the end. You know, what if all of my life is pointing me to my message? Really love that. Was having an interesting conversation with my daughter who's 16, and she's like, I want to do something, but not in the sense of the doing. It's more she's looking for her message.
Yes, right.
Pursue. And she's like, but I don't know what it is. And I'm like, you know, honey, if you just keep following what your message is, really, in short.
Right, right.
It's all going to lead up, because I said, you know, the people that I work with now, they can't quite see the thread. You can't see the thread when you're building it or when it's moving forward.
Right.
But when you look back, it all connects. And the people that I'm connecting with now, I had no idea they'd be in my life again. And I'm like, wow, now we're creating this. Now we're doing this. So
right.
I love, thank you for reminding me again about that.
You bet. I mean, it's,
yeah.
It's why I leave these calls. And to be honest, I remind myself, right, because I forget, right? I mean,
yeah.
we get so pulled off. And just a thought for your, to ask your daughter, you know, play with the word function a little bit, too. Like, what's your function, do you think? You know, that's, you know, might be early on in her life to ask that, but boy, if somebody had asked me that, when I was a ninth grader, like, wow, you know, what a concept to think about. What am I here to really provide? And again, it's in the message domain versus the doing, right? Because we
right.
get, you know, guidance counselors, what are you going to do? Right,
right, right, right. Exactly.
Not a bad question, just doesn't, boy, it gets so locked in the right answer, right?
Exactly,
so.
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you for your comment and your question,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Hi, Keith.
Hello. Yes, we can hear you.
Great, this is Tom Jimmy. Hi, how are you?
Good.
It's great to see your talk today, and just add one more thing, that when you lead with your message and what you believe in, it brings out the trueness, authenticity in you that other stuff might not. And that's what...
Oh, we just lost you on your great final thought there, Sabrina.
That's what brings people to the in your truth.
Yes.
Your message.
Yes. I think what you're speaking to is the authenticity of the person, that you can really see them, right? Because your message is, you're leading with it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. We're having a little cell phone, I think, in and out is what's happening. Thank you. Anybody else? Question or comment? Disagreements, lots of, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to unmute everybody and see how this goes. Just to see if it goes. Nope. Are you all there?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Oh, that feels so much better.
So, Rick, this is Tracy.
Hi, Tracy.
And it's lovely to hear your voice. So the comment that you made, which I think is absolutely, utterly brilliant, what if everything that's happened in my life is pointing me to my message and my work in the world? And it comes, what came to me today is that the small interactions that I have with people just in everyday life and walking through my life and living my life with intention, the power of that intention, it manifests. And it's like, instead of just taking an interaction as, so for example, I had an interaction today that was somewhat uncomfortable. And what I realize is that I did stay true to my message. And I think that's because being rooted in intention and what I'm here for and what I stand for, that allows me to flow a little easier in the difficult times with the difficult conversations, and not to oscillate to please,
right.
But instead to stand true to what am I here for?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it keeps you in the domain of being a creative force versus a reactive, having a reactive response, using that language again, right? It's just like...
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know,
but there's a huge piece of vulnerability in
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Right? It's like by sticking to it and staying true to what it is that I believe, and being completely open and transparent in a healthy, boundary-appropriate way, it can be very scary.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Really scary. And, well, the fear of loss of relationship gets really high there.
Yes.
Right? That's what really
yes.
drives us. Like, oh, I don't want to really share this because I'm afraid of the loss of the relationship in the moment.
Exactly.
You know, so it makes total sense. But again, without sharing it, there's no opportunity for something new to be created from it.
Precisely.
You know, I mean, this again, this whole idea of share it rather than being right. You know, it's so hard to explain this, gang. You know, we're talking about energy. We're talking about how to hold something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can share something from a righteous place, or you can share something from a welcoming place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we know the difference. You know, the same language, the same words can fall out of our mouth, and one is sort of righteous and dominating, and this is this way or the highway, versus the, you know, let me offer this message I have, or this viewpoint I have, and then see where this goes. You know, a much more inviting context.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Rick, this is Christina. Hi. So I'm curious, when you talk about this stuff outside of, and maybe, you know, outside of your circles of coaches, or,
right.
You know, it's like I'm particularly tied to the thing you wrote about create from versus react to. Like,
right.
You know, I live in Boston, and the marathon bombings made me write. Like, I did all this writing about...
Yes.
What it offered to me was this choice about who am I, who am I becoming, who do I represent, who do I identify with, because when they found out these kids were Chechen, it was all about, like, the Chechens are criminals, and the, you know, I mean, it sort of identified them as, like, these are all the bad people, and I thought,
right.
Oh, wow, if I'm representing a mother, if I'm representing Catholicism, like, what am I really, you know.
Right.
But when you say that out loud in the world, I think people have such attachment to, but they are criminals, and they're in public assistance, and that means they sort of miss what you're sort of trying to just, so I've never shared it with anybody. It just sort of was what I wrote about. But I just wonder for you what that's like when you speak outside of the circles of people who understand this creating from
your
place.
First of all, your topic is so heartfelt, right? I mean, it's very real. It's all in our hearts these last couple weeks. And thank you for sharing it, first of all. You know, I could just feel myself well up right away with that circumstance, right? But to underline it, though, the courage that it takes to sort of speak it. I mean, I could even hear you just said, you know, I haven't shared it. But I dare say we have to start to go here. And it's not about making the response that they had called, you know, that we've got the bad guys and those are the bad guys, and that's the reactionary. That's the normal reactionary place. We have to find them right, not right like capital R, but it's okay that they go there. But then be this voice of, okay, so can I take you wider? Can I take you to a bigger place for a second? Because if we just keep doing that same reactionary place, we're just going to, you know, keep locking people up, right? We're just going to be bouncing around in the same paradigm.
Right. So and locking ourselves into a place of real anger, too.
Absolutely.
You know.
Fear, right? I'm going to lock my doors and... You know, so what we're talking about here is a huge paradigm shift. This is not an overnight phenomenon, you know, but if we're not the voice of these bigger and wider viewpoints, there is no, I don't want to sound like the voice of negativity here, I don't mean to, but then we don't have any chance, right? We're just
the
louder voice, you know. Even this guy coming out, this basketball player coming out as a gay person, you know,
mm-hmm.
This happened this morning, yesterday and last night. You know, it's all over the news. And I'm, you know, this part of me is like, oh my God, it's like the first gay person ever. I mean, it was, you know, like, seriously? You know, like, you know, there's millions of other people who have done it before him, and all of a sudden he's on every newscast. And I'm like, you know, I can feel my reaction, you know, not good. You know, like, you know, what about me? Hello, you know, 20 years ago, you know, whatever. So that's the reaction. Instead of, okay, wait a minute. You know, there's finally a, okay, good, the movement is happening, and now what can I create from this and help underline and move forward and take people to a bigger perspective with it?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't quite found it yet because I'm in my reactionary place oh, there's a repeat of myself.
That was funny.
That was creepy.
It must be really important.
Oh, my God, that was kind of creepy. Because that's the thing, I want to be really clear, really, reaction is we get to, right? There's not like this nirvana place I'm supposed to create from all the time. It's like, no, we get to have this reaction and have a vote and, oh my gosh, that hurts or whatever, and then start to go to, okay, now, what is my message from this? But I want to say one more thing. Oh my God, yay to your writing, right? I mean, that is the beauty and the light coming out of the dark, using that language, of a really horrific circumstance that occurred in your city, but the light that now wants to come through you is what I'm speaking to. And you're finding your way with it. And not saying you have to do this, but this is an opportunity to start to put it out there, whether it's a blog or whether it's even a little posting or something. Because people will grab onto these handles of bigger perspectives if we offer them. They really will.
Hmm.
You know, you're on this call because you get it, right? Now, somebody got it into you somewhere along the way. You know, and I'm putting it out here on my call today. You know, I dare say we got to start to throw these things out there.
Yeah.
And the world's going to vote, and some people are going to get it, and some people won't, but they're not. But, oh, my gosh, if I go to my grave without trying, you know, then I've sort of just fed the system as it is.
Yeah. So, I hear that. Thank you.
So thank you for absolutely trusting yourself. And it's coming through you, right? It's coming through you. So.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick. This is Yulia.
Hi, Yulia.
So I just want to speak to what you just shared, and by the way, just so brilliant and moving as always, this call. You know, and what I'm getting too is that the gift of this reaction, like we get to react and
yes.
like we get to create from that reaction.
Yes.
You know, like not in the not in the reactive place, like being right about our reaction, but like, you know, what can I create from what's coming to me in that reaction itself?
Yes.
You know, like not to make that reaction bad and wrong as well. And kind of like taking that also to a place of creativity as well.
Yes. What I love is that you're getting that. Like you can feel into that, right? Again, this is stuff that's almost like language can barely get at it.
Totally.
But you're sort of feeling, oh yeah, what wants to come through me from this situation? And I want to be the voice, though, too, of, you know, how we can sort of color things and, you know, that was, it's all good. You know, what happened in Boston was not good. It was a horrific, horrible thing, right?
Yeah.
So I want to be, I'm not a fan of sort of coloring and putting on top of things, you know, well, that was here to serve us and, you know, maybe. But, boy, let's be with the reality of, you know, this people were hurt and maimed and this is not good and, you know, but now let me, as you say, you sort of rise above it and then say, okay, what do I want to create from this? You know, so thank you. I love that you're sort of feeling into it. So other questions, comments?
Yes, hi, Rick.
This is the hardest part.
What about a French comment?
A what?
What about a French comment?
A French comment. Okay, go, girl.
This is Christina. How are
you? Hi, Christina. Hi.
I just want to thank you because what I take so far from your deep conversation with us is I feel relief inside of me right now. I'm trying so hard since many, many weeks, I should say months, to build my company.
Right.
And totally be on the face of what I'm doing to get blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So it's ringing a bell for me to express and receive. So
it's
very nice to feel the calm and peace inside of me now, and I want to thank you for that.
Yeah. You're welcome. I mean, I'm very transparent. Why I think I train and why I coach and why I do the work I do in the world is to remind me. You know, of course the world benefits, but it's like, oh, right, you know, because... You know, here's an example of the kind of your business comment, Christina, is that, you know, we're putting on this bigger game conference next week, and we get caught in the do to get. Well, we'll do this, and then we'll get people to come. And, you know, instead of, no, this is my partner and I, Chuck and I, we wanted to express this into the world. And what we've noticed is when we stop letting go of needing people to sign up, like I need them to come, all of a sudden people started to come. It's fascinating. You know, but keep remembering, okay, what do I want to express? What's the energy I want to put into the world from this? I mean, even if there's only six people in the room, we're doing it, right? And it's, you know, what are the emotions I want them to experience? And that's the expression of me. And then we'll receive, I sense, who knows what we'll receive. Actually, it's not my job to decide. But my job is to be open to receiving. And I dare say, I think that's, again, I said it on the part where you were all muted for a minute, but... If there's work to do for many of us, it's the art of receiving.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a call unto itself, right? Because
Rick,
I keep...
This, oh.
Yeah, go. That's
oh, Rick, this is... Rick, this is Bianca, and
yeah.
Christina,
hi.
I was listening when you talked. That was what I was going to, everything brilliant, loving sitting in this and really going to be working with this. But the receive part,
right.
What a great reminder for me. And what comes for me is that I am out there expressing,
yeah.
But I don't stand in the receiving that actually would build me to express more.
Yeah. Yeah, you see how they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah. And I was just going to say, just yesterday I was talking to my neighbor about what I wanted to do, and she gave me this, like, well, I know that's what you're here to do. She's not a coach. She's
right.
a person. And I really just kind of like, oh, yeah, thanks.
Right.
You know?
But that was a whisper, by the way, from the universe, right? You know those
yeah.
whispers we get? Oh,
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And just to really take that in for the energy that it provides. And
right.
I have a lot of work to do there, and thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, right back at you.
Hi, Rick. This is Nancy.
Hi,
out
Nancy.
On the Outer Banks.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey.
Hi, honey.
Hi. So I'm probably one of the few people on the call that knows the history of the ninth grader.
I know, huh? Nancy and I know each other.
You were being whispered
right.
to multiple times about your service. But I want to thank you for... everything that you said today, because for me, this underlying message is about doing your life with passion.
Yeah.
Because I have found, regardless of what it is that I'm doing, if it is filled with passion, that becomes so contagious to others.
Right.
And that out front is the message.
Yep.
And the conviction and the reality of it and the authenticity, all these things that people were saying. So, wonderful thoughts today that I can apply across the board.
Right. Well, knowing you for this many years as I do, Nancy, is that you are. You've always led with passion, and the forms just keep changing in your life, right? I mean, now you do a B2B,
right.
and but the, see, imagine just going through your life as my message and my work is this, my life is passion, and then, oh, these forms just keep showing up. You know, and we get caught in a form world, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
career, like what's my career rather than, well, what's my message, and then let's let the forms find me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so great to have you here. Thanks, Nancy.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
Yeah. So it's 1 minute to go. I just wanted to go for hours. There's, you know, each one of these distinctions needs its own hour, but thank you for listening. Thank you for being open to this kind of thinking. And I just want to say thank you personally, truly. You know, the 100 people signed up for this call, and what that tells me is we're all doing our own good work in the world. And I just want to say thank you for doing your part to raise the level of awareness of our world, because that's what we're doing, right? We're raising the level of consciousness and responsibility and aliveness for people, and what a business to be in, and whatever form that takes for each of us, God willing, and God bless you for doing it. Here's the final quote to leave us with, and I was rambling around on my computer last night, and it just popped up, and I thought it was perfect. It says, "Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away."
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Much thanks for all the work you do. Be well.
Thank you, Rick.
Safe travel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.